Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber, StuWeb.com, and it is Wednesday, February the 3rd, 2021. And with that said, I have three guests, Professor Joel, Professor Paul, and Jeff, a financial expert. And we did a show yesterday, folks, that I'm scrapping. I said a couple things in there I shouldn't have said, so I'm scrapping the show. Matter of fact, I got my finger on a button right now. It says delete, and here it goes, delete, because I don't want to repeat what I said. But I had an attitude yesterday, like I got an attitude now, that this country is in turmoil. Now, Paul brings up to me today about the false flag in the FBI in Florida. I heard something yesterday, late news, didn't catch all the details of what really happened. But today, they're introducing a bill in the Congress and Senate to take your guns. To take your guns, folks. Come out, confiscate your guns. So, here we go. With that said, Paul, you want to pick it up?
It is at the point where the world runs on deception is not even really adequate. We are not just lied to about many things, or most things. It appears that the mainstream media and most of the alternative media lies about everything. And what the people, the parasitical leader power structure preys on is pain, suffering, misery, deception, destruction, and death. And what we have going here is an ongoing gray terror, which has been written about and talked about. Some of it comes from the academic literature, some of it comes from the field of political science, some of it comes from Soviet defectors, some of it comes from Chinese generals, some of it comes from documents like report from Iron Mountain, silent weapons for quiet wars, but you can't ignore it if your eyes are open and your ears are receptive to hearing. And where does it put us? Well, parasitical globalists have long said they want a new world order. They want one world governance, they want one world currency, and they want one world religion. Now, their plans have been very specific for anyone who has done the homework, and essentially the world will be divided into 10 regions or 10 kings or 10 rulerships. And what they'll do is reduce the population to about 500 million, 500 million. So if one does the math, that says about 7 billion. Of us have to go so that they can achieve their long-held dream, their long-held promise from Genesis 3, which is H+. H+ is transhumanism. Now, transhumanism was, I guess, presented full force by a guy named Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, and he was a Jesuit priest, and he wrote a book called The Omega Point. And the book was published in 1961 or 62. And in it, Teilhard de Chardin made the point, we have achieved the new singularity. And I remember I used to talk to people about singularity, and it became a difficult conversation because people say, no, that's the Big Bang. And I said, yes, I know. The Tree of Life, the Kabbalah, tells us that, you know, we had this primordial ooze and there was this and that. And I'll spare the listener the Big Bang theory. I think most people are familiar with it. But Chardin, of course, went a step further, and he said in 1961-62, or wrote, that we had now reached the new singularity. We had the capacity to be beyond human, augmented human, no longer human, synthetic human, and the possibility then existed in 61-62 for immortality. So for the parasitical class to get to the new singularity. Of course, you have to have the agreements with the fallen ones, and then you have to get rid of everyone that's human who won't go along with their plan. Anyway, that's a pretty big principle. But speaking of no longer human or eliminating humanity, I know that Joel has a couple of details about mass and maybe some ideas beyond that I should start with.
Before you get started, Joel, I want to say this. People have to understand, it's not the deep state. It is called the shadow government. That's what it has been referred to as by every spook, every CIA, FBI stooge I've met calls it the shadow government within the government. It's the control box, not deep state, folks. That's a different sounding word. It is shadow, and it is in government. Go ahead, Joel.
All right, what Paul was talking about, and it's promoted by a guy, a Jew by the name of Criswell, to where a human becomes half robot, half human, Criswell. And they will then have immortal life. That's the ultimate end, to have immortal life for these few that will be left. But there's more to the story. Now, there's different ways that you can deal with this as a person. One of them is to be, of course, informed, but there's other ways to resist. A Colonel Lowe, who was captured by the Vietnamese and held prisoner for 5 years, escaped and came back and revamped the entire survival SEER school for the special forces. It's the top survival school. And the one point that he said was to be able to resist. And I'll give you, here's an example personal of how I resisted concerning the mask. Because if they can make people wear a mask, they can socially make them do other things that the government says to do. So there's a local food store that I go to, supermarket. And so I had my way of resisting the mask. I never covered my nose or my mouth. So I had a checker come out and say to me, "You have to put, I need for you to pull your mask up off your chin." So I turned to him and I said, "You can say that, but I'm telling you no." And I walked away. That is a way to resist. In other words, the mask is a very important psychological point because it depersonalizes everyone. And think of a tennis racket, and you throw sand at the tennis racket, the sand goes through the tennis racket. Well, the same thing for the mask. Masks don't work. That tells you right there that is a government ploy for mass psychology, mind control, conditioning. So I'm telling all the people out there, resist. They can tell you, but they can't make you because it's not law. Even with an ordinance, you can tell them it's an ordinance, it's not law. And you can ask all you want, but I'm telling you, no. So resist with the mask. Resist. That's your way that you can step up to the plate and do something. And they'll give you a hard look and all of that stuff. And I just told them in a very forceful way, and I meant it, no, because I know what the mask means. And right now, in England and in Australia, people that get together to form groups to resist the wearing of the masks, some of them are being arrested and put into re-education camps right now. So the mask thing is a very important thing. It is a way for every one of us to resist.
Now, Joe, or Paul, this eats up, you're not getting all the oxygen in, and you're breathing carbon dioxide is what you're bringing, I believe, with these masks. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Masks are generally and specifically unhealthy. They're bad for you. The only mask that I could say, hey, it's probably not going to do much harm, would be something like a merino wool, a very lightweight or even a heavier merino wool. I just say that because having skied and having done outdoor sports and wearing a wool mask, it never had a negative impact on me. And part of the reason, of course, is that wool is antimicrobial. So you're not going to grow bacteria or protozoan or fungi or any of those types of bacteria or protozoan or fungi or viruses. There's a category for them that I'm missing right now. I apologize. But here's my point. If you had to do something, you might put on a wool gaiter or something like that. And I'm not saying people should go along to get along, but at least in my experience, that is the one fabric that seems to be not necessarily totally unhealthy. But Joel's point is really spot on. This whole mask fiasco is ridiculous because try and catch sand with a tennis racket. Doesn't matter where you hold out the racket or whether you swing it. It doesn't matter if it's off the forehand or the backhand or the serve. That so-called stringing pattern isn't going to stop anything. And even microns into the N95 to N99, they can't stop viruses. There's been a lot of research, and much of it is even as recently as 2015, 2016, 2019. And the research indicates even surgeons, zero efficacy. In fact, it may be harmful. Now, but you have to create this illusion of competence or safety. Anyway, that's my perspective. I turn it back to you guys.
No, I just want to say one thing that, you know, and Joe, you can add to what he's saying, but I'm getting tired of not seeing pretty girls' faces. I mean, you know, half of them got decent bodies, the other half don't, but you can't see the face. You can't see, all you see is kind of like, I got a smile sort of out of her, you know. But I mean, I'm sick of this bullshit, quite frankly, not seeing the human face. Go ahead, Joe.
It's a very important point. It's not a mute point. The mask is a very important mind conditioning thing that these globalists are doing. It's not just putting on a mask. It is a way to make you non persona. It's designed that way. So what I'm saying to you is resist on that mask all you can and find different ways to do it. It is in our state, it is not law. They cannot do anything. If they call the store manager and say, you have to put that up or you have to leave, and I'll tell them, you can say, I have to leave. That is all you can say. You can say, but you cannot touch, you cannot escort, you cannot force. And that is the way that you resist. And the same thing here in Arizona, we have open carry. You can carry your gun anywhere you want. And wear that gun. If you feel uncomfortable going into a store like a supermarket wearing a gun, because I see it all the time down here in Arizona, that's your pushback. That is the way that you resist. Like, if you don't like to do that, wear your gun down when you go in the evening or during the day to buy gasoline.
It's intimidating to the clerks. Very intimidating.
And so when you find these ways to resist, that is a very important point, because as Tucker Carlson was saying on his talk show night before last, it's very important. They are going full bore for the Bolshevik takeover. And believe me, the end game of the Bolshevism, and they are Bolshevik, these neocons, who are the center of this, are Bolsheviks. And what they did to Russia, everybody thinks that there was a revolt. No, it was as it was an invasion. And Solzhenitsyn is the one that clarified that. He said, we were not, it was not a revolt. It was an invasion by a foreign force, Bolshevik communists. And that's what you're seeing right now, the rise of the Bolshevik communists from the neocons. And that is what Joe Biden is. That's what Pelosi is, Gavin Newsom, all of those guys. That's what the Democratic Party is. And they're coming after you, the white man. Remember this. It is the white middle class that is the backbone of world freedom here in the United States. And they're trying to take you down now. So begin the resistance. Find ways to resist. Okay, go ahead.
You know, over here we got to carry conceal in Missouri without a permit. As long as you don't have a felony and you got a proper ID. Driver's license or ID card, you can carry. Believe me, I carry. I see a lot of people carrying. It's in their pocket. So, man, half the stores over here you can carry, and unless they have a little sign on the door like Walmart's did and a few of them that shows it weapon with a circle around it and an X in front of it, meaning you can't come in with a gun. Other than that, people need to start packing their guns and do it legally. We need to start being prepared for them to say that they're going to take the guns today from Americans, legislation being proposed. No, no. Jeff, you want to add to this?
Well, I'm just looking in on here, hear you guys discussing this. I've got to agree with what kind of the method of under the guise that's for our good. I mean, I don't think we can determine that a mask is really that beneficial. Like Joel was mentioning, you know, this kind of leads us down a path or step towards a direction of control and conditioning. And we need to become accustomed to the conditioning, because ultimately it's trying to subvert, you know, national sovereignty and make every one of us just a subject under rule. And by nature, we have a human nature that is rebellious. And in this sense, I think that's a good thing, to have that rebellious spirit, because when somebody tries to tell me to do something I don't want to do, whether it's good for me or not, just out of pure obstinance, I will sometimes object to that because I don't want somebody conforming me to what they want me to do. I have a natural inhibitor. I don't want to fall in line sometimes. And I think that's kind of where we are, people who are, I'm going to say, awake to what's going on. We feel, we sense something's odd about this. Kind of a tingly, spidey sense, so to speak, to take it from a movie. But, you know, we know there's something not right. We can sense it's not necessarily a godly thing, but we can feel we're being directed. And I guess that's where I see the subtlety of all of this coming in, under the guise of it's for our own good. We need this. So, yeah, I guess I'm not real whoopee on being directed or corralled or pinned, and so push back in any way you can, I think, makes a lot of sense. Why not, you know?
Now, I want to add something. I wish we had a female on here with us and have the female side of things. Maybe Heidi, if she were available or something. But we look at the human side of this, okay? The female-male contact. It's gone. It's gone with masks. It is doing things to the human race. The singles out here are going friggin' nuts. I mean, they really are. Alcoholism's up big time in America because they're at home, confined, the whole bit. Instead of out mating, dating, mating, whatever, it's not happening the way it was. What are they trying to do to the old folks in the nursing homes? No contact for almost, it has been 1 year. I have a father that's in one. No contact. No personal contact, shaking his hand or any of that, give him a hug, or, you know, old people, you want to go hug your mom that's in there, you can't do it. Half the people in the nursing home my father is in are dead in 1 year. Contact, loneliness, they're just croaking in the middle of their sleep. And it isn't coronavirus. and people aren't coming to see him because you have to stand outside in the freezing cold and talk through a frigging window. And half of them can't hear because they're old. And they need hearing aids, and they probably don't have them. I had to get my dad walkie-talkies and my...
Let me interrupt you here.
Go ahead.
What you are doing right then and there is called resistance. And how did you resist? You gave walkie-talkie to your father. That is resisting. You can find many, many ways to resist. Go ahead, Stu.
Well, this is what it's coming down to, but it's killing all these old people. I mean, they're croaking like all hell. And the people we had Charlene on, which was the last broadcast, it is up on the site as of last night, and she's a nurse, and she's talking about the fact how many people are dying from taking the vaccination, as an example, which all this is centered up around a false illusion that appears real, which is fear. It's all orchestrated through this fear factor garbage. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm looking at this. We're going to have to really... At some point, we're going to have to stand up and do a complete resistance and put a stop to this nonsense. And it's called a revolution. At some point, that is going to have to happen. Because this is a demonic. This is so demonic. And the shadow government. I mean, this Satanist. We got a pedophile in the White House. We got a slave, white slave owner in the vice president's house. Not even a U.S. citizen. We got 90%, 97, 98, about 99% of the United States Congress and Senate that are sold out to a bunch of New World Order pigs that are Satanist driven and controlled by a bunch of fallen angels they call aliens. We're living in a world, folks, if you don't know who God Almighty is, and Jesus Christ, and you don't have your brain screwed on, or your brain in your head somewhat straight and right, you're going to pick it up, Paul or Joe. I mean, it's just, I'm frustrated.
Okay. Let me interject something here, Paul. First of all, very important, I'm not calling for a violent resistance. I'm not calling for that. I'm not calling for a mass violent resistance. What I am saying is you can find many ways to resist. Many, many ways. Just find and look around you and you'll find it. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, thank you, because you just made my first point for me. I want to be very clear. We are not about our own different version of what they're proposing. We just get so much doublespeak. It's okay for them to riot, loot, burn, and kill if their feelings are affected, and if it furthers the force of iniquity, the forces of chaos. And really, that's in the spiritual realm what we're up against is the force of iniquity and chaos. And so thanks for that clarification, Joel. The second point I was going to make is going to connect with Stu's earlier comment about the shadow government. And it does connect with the force of inequity and iniquity. You kind of hit that syllable just right. And that is the shadow government is smoke and mirrors. It is sorcery. It is black magic. These people aren't anything like most of us. These people, they know the dark arts. They know who they serve. And I know this is maybe going to come as no surprise to anyone, but once Lenin got in power, one of the first things he builds in Russia, a ziggurat. Now, anyone that thinks that there wasn't a spiritual dimension or the force of iniquity and of black magic and beyond for the Russian Revolution is missing the bigger picture. We exist as carnal, fleshly beings in a spiritual dimensional universe, and we have a spectrum that we can see in, And but beyond that spectrum is Stu's described it many times, how they do cloaking and so on. And we probably shouldn't go there today because we want to keep our focus. But I do want to point out that we need to resist against a shadow government in a way that is imaginative and nonviolent, because right now they have technology and weaponry and beyond. Now, that being said, each of us still has our own space, and that is our homes. And nobody gets to knock down my door and harm anybody that that I'm responsible for, nor do they get to harm me. So I don't want to rule out that you have the right to protect yourself in your own home. What they're trying to do right now is provoke us. They want a civil war. And anyway, Joffrey, can you pick up on that a little bit?
I think he had to go.
Yeah, I think he did.
He had an appointment.
Joel,
let me pick up on that, Paul, real quick here. One of the things that is in Georgia, they passed a law, not an ordinance, a law, that when you have violent confrontation put on you, not necessarily that they've started shooting you or whatever, you can take that pistol and put it in a ready position. And it doesn't matter if they see it or they don't. You have a right to do that if you have a physical violent confrontation headed your way. You can bring that pistol to bear in a low, ready position. That is one way to resist. Get with a group of people and push your state legislatures to pass a law that allows that, that is in Georgia today. There's another one that you can do. You can take the American flag if you like to fly a flag. Put a flag up that says, "Don't tread on me," or put the American flag upside down, which means help. So there's all different kinds of ways to resist, but we must all begin to push back now in resistant, lawful ways. Okay, go ahead, Stu.
You hear our sirens going off over here?
Oh, yeah.
Wednesday's test.
Yep.
Now,
we get ours at 1 o'clock, so misery is a little bit earlier than where I am in the bold north.
Now, all this programming, what are they doing to the human race? Let's talk about this for a minute. This virus stuff is all fictional, and we know it is. They're isolating people. Now they're talking on this broadcast, the first time I've ever heard this. Hold on a second. I got to hear this. Joe, pick it up for a second.
Yeah, all right. Here I want to really emphasize, because of what happened to me this morning at the local supermarket. It was the right timing and the right place. I just turned around and said, in the most forceful personality way, no. You can do the same thing in all kinds of situations. You can buy a Blue Lives Matter flag if you care to do that, or if you feel comfortable with doing that. But we must all begin doing nonviolent resistance at more and more of us as we can. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I think you're spot on, Joel, because it begins with thinking. And part of thinking is attitudinal. And the one thing that we can still do is occupy and resist. And that's really where this is heading. They have plans, and we need to resist every new world order plan there is, and once again, in creative ways. And one of the best ways, of course, is to get into the scripture, and I've got some stuff from Micah today that I thought I'd close with. I know we wanted to keep this shorter so that we get it posted, and I think we're already we're at a 10-minute warning. So what I want to suggest here is we are going to be false flagged mega very soon. I think it started with the supposedly the FBI now cares about child pornography. Let me just make a point very, very clear. By the time I was 14, I was told by my brother's first wife, who passed from cancer, that I didn't know anything. And it turns out that, you know, I was correct when I said, you're right, but I'll check into it. And that started me 48 years ago on a path of research, and I could compartmentalize some of it. But I'll admit, between 14 and 19, I was in a melancholy depression. So I don't know that I would call it classic depression, which is classic depression, according to the DSM-4, I don't even know what the DSM-5 now says, is that you are disassociative. There was nothing disassociative about my melancholy or depression. I was sad. I was saddened because I realized what we were up against. And, you know, that was 1971. And I've never stopped researching and going over and over and over what they've said they're going to do. And it's just baffled me that for so long I couldn't even get people's attention. I mean, you talk about getting the wave off, university professors, ministers, pastors, everyone waved me off. Well, I must admit, you know, at 20 or so, I thought, well, they're still a ways off. They're not very far off now. And because they are so close to the finish line, we're going to see more and more false flags, more and more disinformation. Well, they've given us disinformation forever. So I guess my point is people now need to be very, very awake, aware, communicative, and be able to think about what is happening and what their response should be. Too many of us sometimes think, oh, we'll just react. And one of the best ways, of course, to do your best thinking is to get the scripture and then to do create a prayer space and a prayer time. And I'm not just talking once or twice a day. I'm talking about maybe continual. And that might seem heavy for some of us, but we are really, I think, approaching the end of the age. And is it going to be in the next 90 days? Is it going to be in the next 5 years? Well, I can tell you what, I don't imagine that they're going to turn this great reset around and say, oh, power to the people. In fact, what they're trying to do is goad us, is to get us to start our own civil war. And they're going to do this by outraging us. And you know, Fox, I never liked Fox. I never liked the Criminal News Network, and I never liked Microsoft NBC. And what I can tell you about all of them is they're all just pure propaganda. And most of their stories are designed either to create fear or to create uncertainty or to outrage. That's all they do. And so we may even have our favorite hosts on CNN or MSNBC or 666 Fox. But the point is, all these people are provocateurs. They're agent provocateurs. And one of the biggest problems we have right now is that it's not just at the national level that people are sold out. D.C. is one occultic place. But I got to tell you, you go about to any government building, and what do you see outside? Federal government building, you always see the symbol of the feast. And so that goes way back a couple thousand years. But local governments are totally infiltrated. Stu mentioned earlier about smart meters. They snuck smart meters in here 15 years ago. I even got a call that my water was running. And I said, what? How would you know that? Oh, we have a smart meter out back that tells us that you've got a leak. And I'm thinking,
about smart meters. Anyone. I called them yesterday replacing everybody's meters. I said, what are you putting in? She says, oh, smart. I said, are those smart meters? She says, yeah. I said, did you put one in my unit? I told her, oh, we did that yesterday. I said, come pull it. Well, you're going to have to call them to have a pull. There's a fee. I said, you're not going to come out or change it and turn around and charge me to put the old meter back. Now, let me say something about a smart meter. Where I used to live, when we moved in there 7 years ago, my father and I was taking care of him, the smart meter was in it. Our bill was double that month from the previous place we lived at. No way. Come get this meter out of here. No, we can't do that. I said, yeah, you will do it. I'll pull the damn thing out and I'll hook up a solar unit. I'm pulling it out today if you don't send somebody out here. Next day, oh, we have somebody out. They came out, changed the meter out. Then some stooge a year later comes along and says, oh, sir, I've got a smart meter for you. I said, I bet you your CIA or FBI would take it down the street. Double the bill, smart meter. But you're right about reading things. So in the next few days, the power company here will be changing my meter back to a regular meter. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, thank you. Hey, guys, I think where we're at right now, we're at our five-minute warning. What closing thoughts to put the ribbon on or tie the knot do you have, Joel? And then I'll have my my final thoughts for today. And then, Stu, it's your show. We'll let you close.
All right. Resist. Find a way to push back that you feel comfortable with. And always there's a little bit of uncomfortableness that goes back when you push back. There's always a little anxiety that comes up. But go ahead and find your way to resist.
Great point, and I want to amplify that. The thing about resistance is it does require critical thinking. And critical thinking means, what am I going to say under certain circumstances? But before you even go there, I think everyone needs to understand what assumptions they are working from. And, you know, it's generally speaking, you know, like if someone says something about my bandana, if you need that, you need to put that thing above your lips and on your nose, sir. And I said, if you're afraid, I've got another one. Here's one for you. And, you know, what happens when you say that is, I've got another one. If you're afraid of me, here's one for you. You're protected. It turns out that they don't really believe that mask protects them or me. It does get to be about compliance and power. And we are under a spell, I swear. I'm serious. People are defeated and they are living in fear. And you know, I don't know how many people have Marcus Wolf anymore on their mailboxes, but at least in the bold north where I'm living, you got this curious mix between passive aggressive Nordic and then rule following Germans and then you've got this immigration where the Lutherans and the Catholic charities they move people in overnight, and then all of a sudden we're supposed to be tolerant about their intolerance. Anyway, I can't give you all the words to say all the situations, but I can just give you that one example about, I carry an extra bandana. Somebody has a problem. I say, here's another one for you. Perhaps this will protect you if you're so concerned. It is just one way of engaging. And then the other thing I will say is a lot of kindness and a lot of care in how you deal with people. I go to Domino's now and pick up my gluten-free to go carry out. They take care of me at Domino's. They are just awesome. When they see me come in, they take their masks off. It's so good. Well, I better stop here. You can disarm people, and if you treat them with fun and with positivity and with affection, it's just amazing how people respond. Because you know what, we've lost that because we're wearing these masks, and these masks are designed to take away our identity. They're a cult ritual, and what we're up against is I think what everyone knows, we are in the fight for our very existence. Stu, back to you, brother.
Well, let's look at what this so-called virus has done. Let's just go back a year. It was all created as a big facade. It was the Democratic Party, in my opinion, a covert operation that they did within the shadow government, period. It was all designed to run Donald Trump in the election. It was to put everybody in isolation. It was to screw up the country. What has it done? Look at the amount of homelessness that we have. Look at the amount of unemployment. Now, Joe can touch on homelessness if he wants to, and the amount of people that have flooded Arizona. They're flooding all over. They're losing their jobs. They're moving back with their mom and dads. They're moving into relatives' homes. Some of them who have a place to go. Property prices are going through the roof. The average apartment right here in Kansas City right now is about $950 a month for an average apartment. Small 650 square foot unit. Prices are going up every place. But we got all this homeless created because of what? A COVID virus that they're classifying. I've had guests on like Chris talking to nurses at the hospital. Oh yeah, we just put them down as COVID dead. Now, what is this all about? It's to turn the country upside down. It's a demonic spell, as what Paul has described it. It's isolation. The divorce rate's up because people, I just can't get along with my spouse being at home. Divorce rate's up. People are being kicked out of their homes. Everything else, losing their homes and their equity because of why? A virus. Because of an artificial virus that they classify everybody dead. It's no different than the common flu, folks. Period. And everybody's running around with a mask. Now, it's the isolation of people from each other. Now, churches closed down. People don't worship. Mostly churches anyway, in my opinion. A lot of them are corrupt as can be, but that's an example. I mean, I could go on all day long about this. But it comes down to what Joe says. We got to resist. We got to put an end to this. This is a demonic spell. Get you programmed for your 5G and get you programmed for your vaccination. Now, anybody that wants to talk about going and getting vaccinated, and all these old people are lining up all across the country, what idiots. You should hear what Nurse Charlene had to say yesterday about the number of deaths and how people are croaking from taking the vaccination. You're dying of heart attacks within 2 weeks. Heart attacks, folks, from vaccination number one. All I can say is this. You got to get on board, because right now you're facing the devil. He's looking right down your throat. He's in the control box. They got control of your United States government. They got in control of your courts. They got in control of your states. We are all in a screwed up box. And the only way to get out of it is to fight out of it. Joel's right. Resistance, folks. Now, I like recall petitions as an example of removing them. It seems to be very popular in Wisconsin these days, if you punch in the internet. And I will give airtime to anybody who does a form of recall. You can get rid of the people that are in office. You didn't vote them in, but you can get rid of them. And that's the way we got to do it. We got to go after them. We have to take our country back, and we got to do it now, or you're going to be pulling those guns out and shooting people in the head to stop them from what they're going to do to you and your family. But that said, Paul or Joe, do you want to add to that?
We'll be up again soon with another rebroadcast, and I just want to close in prayer, if that's okay with you guys.
Go ahead, Paul.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to speak our truth and the opportunity for our listeners to hear our words. We ask that you continue to provide a hedge of protection over all of us, including our listeners, the freedom to speak, the freedom to resist, the capacity to resist, and for your protection as we resist. We ask for forgiveness and that forgiveness includes us, our listeners. We've all fallen short of who we were created to be in your image. We also ask for remittance of the sins for people in government, people behind the curtain. We know it's late for salvation, but we know that you can appear in dreams. We know that you can appear in visions, and you can also appear in person and speak audibly. And we know that's what it's going to take for a lot of people to figure out that you're real and that you are all-powerful, all-knowing. So we humbly ask today not only that we all seek repentance, but we also seek wisdom and direction, and to have you lead us through your Holy Spirit and through your holiness so that we can fulfill what we're supposed to be doing. We know in the scripture you tell us, occupy and resist, and that's what we're doing. And we ask for all your power and all your glory in that endeavor in this time. In Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Well, I want to thank you, Paul. I want to thank you, Joel, very much. And thank you, Jeff. And with that said, everybody have a good day.
Later.